recorded somewhere in history, so it's on record.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. You're in America now, Henry.
I'm in America.
And this story is probably less exciting than the
one. I would say it's part of my life.
Personally?
You know, and, I came here to Lynn. Uh-huh. I lived on 12 West Baltimore Street.
I was in 49.
49, right. And I started to work for the style company, mm-hmm. style finishing company in Peabody. And the community center was very helpful to me. I didn't need any help financially, but it was a help that the people took an interest. And this was great. Came in to the center, they accepted me, and they talked to me, they asked me what I need any help, and they were interested in me, and this was a big help to me, and I met an awful lot of nice people there. Tremendous.
Did you know a little bit of English by that time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I took some lessons in Germany, and so, you know, when you're in Germany, you take the lessons, you think you know a lot English, you know the language, you know, but when you come here, you see how little you know, and it was difficult to make conversation, but as time went on, you know, it was getting better, and I started going to school here, night school, and then Cabot Junior High School.
Right.
Yeah. And I remember the principal of the night school was Mrs. Berlin. What a nice woman she was. You know her?
Yes.
And she was a fantastic woman. I think what that woman did with us is just unbelievable, you know.
Too bad I don't have her now.
Yeah. She died. She helped me so much. She says anytime you want to come, even without classes, you know, you need some help, come to me. And, she offered a tremendous, not only me, but a lot of people she offered help. And she was a fantastic woman. And I met a lot of people, like I said, in the community center, which were very nice to me, and, trying to help me in every way. And all of a sudden, I met boys, girls my age, inviting to dances at the center. And they used to have some beautiful things at the center. It's not like now. It's the youth group in the center was just fantastic. Wednesday nights in the center was packed with young kids and my age, which was fantastic. And this would really help me survive those rough times in this country even. And I don't mean rough times when I say financially, it's getting to know people, getting used to a new country. Because it's a great experience to come from one country to another. And I can feel what people go through now when they go to a different country, or I don't mean for a visit, but to live in a different country. Or people come here now, I see some Russian Jews coming here to live here. The experience that they have is just awful, especially with people with families. It's easier for a single guy because he can move around. He can get to know a lot of people much faster. So it's a great experience to come to a new country. Mm-hmm. And I think the community center was the biggest single help in this aspect to me.
Can you recall how you felt about
now that you were in America, and, you know, there was no new danger, you had financial, some financial stability there. Did your experiences back there for so many years, did they have an effect on your way you...
Yeah, tremendous, it had a tremendous effect even, I would say, after I got married. And sleeping at night with my wife, you know, and all of a sudden she'll wake up and say, what happened, you know? I used to start screaming, and...
At nightmares?
At night, yeah, and all of a sudden I'll jump, shiver, you know.
Yeah.
My wife used to wake me up and say, what happened? And I couldn't remember what actually happened, but that's the way I acted. Even today, after so many years, you still dream about those things. You still have dreams about being shot by Germans, bullets flying over your head, and nightmares about the corpse, carrying the corpse and burying them. You know, and, it's an unbelievable experience that you can never forget it. There's no such a thing that you can forget or get over it. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to get over it. You try to make the best of it.
Sure.
And,
one side of you is one side.
Right, right.
Mm. You feel like a stranger here?
In this country?
Yeah.
No, I feel
no more?
No, I feel very comfortable in this country, and I said it when I came here, this is the greatest country I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this country has degraded a lot since 30 years what I remember it, but it's still the greatest country that we have today in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I had tremendous impressions about this country when I came first week when I lived here. I think the greatest impression was on me when I used to take the bus from Central Square to Peabody.
Mm-hmm.
And coming down to Central Square and buying a paper, and there was nobody there, and leaving the nickel for the paper on a bench, and it was full of nickels, you know. And the paper boy wasn't afraid to leave the money. He knew that nobody's going to take it. Those are the things
mm-hmm.
still stick out in my mind, that
mm-hmm.
it was so great. And I look back today and I say, where are those days, you know? Why couldn't it be today the same way?
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's times have changed.
Yeah, times have changed a lot, you know.
Okay, you went through such a impressionist age through all these terrible experiences, most unusual. I interviewed one other man who, do you know,
Sonia White?
Jack Kornhauser. He lives in Peabody, too. He runs a...
Jack Kornhauser.
There's
Nate Krugman, another fellow that lived in a concentration camp.
Kornhauser.
Yeah.
He was 14 when he was forced to run away from home. And he saw his father also taken out of the hill, not in the same circumstances, but he lived through, not the underground necessarily, but he had to survive in the concentration camps.
Mm.
A survival kind of life, so that he had so many escapes, near escapes.
I say our lives were very, very dangerous, and starvation and hunger, but the moments that we were free, you know, was the greatest feeling, you know, that you don't have to be in a concentration camp. And I feel that people who were in the concentration camp, camps really, really suffered. We were fighting the Germans. And believe me, there wasn't a picnic in the underground. This just stories I've told you is I can sit with you and tell you battles going through. It's just unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you. I told you before that I said to myself that I'll never be caught by any Germans. Except once I did. Well, I was in the underground. And a German asked me, what do you have to say now? Now you're standing before the guns and you're going to be shot any minute now, and where's your God to help you? You don't have a God. So I spit in his face. I said, since I don't have a God, and I'll be shot in 2 minutes, I'm not afraid of you. So I spit in his face, kicked him, and then ran away. There was a group of us that we managed to do this.
You are a religious-minded man?
I am not too religious-minded. But I can't help but not believing in God, because that's the way I was brought up, you know, as a youngster. And once it's built into you as a youngster, I think you carry it all your life. You can never forget it. And you can, as much I have said, I'm not a religious man, but I go during the high holidays to the temple, and I really believe in God. Really.
Yeah. Tell me, Andy, during the time when you were active young again, do you recall any Jewish religious services in
yes.
the forest?
In the forest, yes. We had, particularly in the high holidays, we had some people who remembered. I never remembered when it was a holiday, you know.
Yeah.
Who could remember? But there's one particular fellow that he just passed away 3 months ago. He lived in Peabody, Chaim Weissman. You might have heard of him.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And he always, whenever I saw him, he always reminded me, it's 2 weeks to high holiday. I'm going, no matter where we're going to be, if you want to come to us, I'll be davening, you know. And he did.
Yeah.
He did, yes. I remember one particular year, he was saying Kol Nidre in the woods. Mm-hmm. And my God, the crying of the whole group was just unbelievable. Yeah, we had some services, yes.
You say you were one of the youngest?
I was one of the youngest. There was a couple other fellows. There's a fellow in Detroit now. Also survived, was in our group, and he was younger than I was. Mm-hmm. And he was carrying a rifle. He probably was no more than 10 years old. And the rifle was a heck of a lot bigger than he is. He survived. A couple of kids. One youngster in Israel. He's a big man right now in Israel in the military. And he was very young.
Go back a minute now, and this will be the last question. Go back now to your home in the is your family interested in Zionism and the Zionist movement?
We always want to, the dreams were to be in Israel. How politically minded my father was, I really can't say. But as a youngster, growing up, and there were some groups, there were some organizations, I had the very strong feeling that Zionism, yes.
You were young.
Yes, strive for Israel, mm-hmm. you know, and, still have it, mm-hmm. still have it.
I think we can stop right here, Henry, unless you want to say something in conclusion.
No, I
hope you enjoy this.
Well, like I said it before, I really think it should be told, particularly to the Jewish Historic Society, which I feel it should be reported someplace, and it's the best place.
We'll send you a membership list, Henry.